I'm often asked quite a bit from the newbies to the experienced self-publishers, hey, you know, when should I hire a virtual assistant, Dale? Well, you might even be wondering, if you're new to all this business, what the heck is a virtual assistant? What is this? I mean, is this like a robot of some sort? I know I felt the same way a number of years ago, and I'm going to share a little bit more about that in today's episode, so make sure that you stay tuned.
Learn how to publish profitable books and build an unstoppable author brand with indie author and self-publishing coach, Dale L. Roberts. This is the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast.
This is episode number 48 of Self-Publishing with Dale, and I'm just tickled, absolutely ecstatic that you've decided to take a little bit of time out your day just to listen in on the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast. And you know, if it weren't for you, I probably wouldn't do this. I'd probably be talking to nobody, and that just really wouldn't be worthwhile. And if it weren't for some of the fine folks that helped kind of, you know, get some of these things off the ground, you know, upgrading the equipment, getting to where I sound semi-professional, folks like the people over at Fiverr. I want to tell you just a little bit about our exclusive sponsors, Fiverr. The Fiverr Book and eBook Store is the ultimate home for developing and perfecting and publishing book-length content. Many people feel they have the next big book inside of them or want to attract new leads or engage their audience with an eBook that educates and converts, but many have trouble turning their vision into a reality or simply just don't have the bandwidth to write an eBook. I get it. I totally get it. That's where Fiverr comes in. Fiverr's all-in-one platform provides everything you need, and I mean everything you need, to go from concept to a finished and fully packaged product. You don't have to use all those services, by the way. If you already got the writing down pat, you've already got yourself an editor, that's totally cool. But let's say you need a good interior formatter. Guess what? They got you covered. Let's say that you need someone that's going to help you out with a killer cover design. They got you covered. And to find out more about the services in the store, all you got to do is head over to dalelinks.com/Fiverr. That's F-I-V-E-R-R. Again, that's dalelinks.com/Fiverr. And I've got the link to that inside the show notes today. All right, so let's talk about it. When should I hire a virtual assistant? Let's start out with what exactly is a virtual assistant? I know some of you out there are like, oh, come on, Dale, really? Some people don't know a virtual assistant. If you say virtual assistant to my mother, she probably will say, what the heck is that? To be clear, a virtual assistant is somebody who's going to work for you, an assistant, if you will, remotely speaking. So they could be anywhere in the world. So let's say I'm based in Ohio, and one of my longest running virtual assistants, she lives down in North Carolina. I know a number of people that have a whole team of virtual assistants that help them out in the Philippines. So there are so many ways that you can kind of make it, shake it, or bake it. So virtual assistants essentially take care of some tasks that you would otherwise do. Now I'm going to talk about some of those tasks or what those tasks would entail as we kind of go further into this. Let me share a little bit of a story about me breaking into the business. When I first broke into the business about 2014, I actually had attended a conference. It was hosted by the team of Robert Kiyosaki called Rich Dad Poor Dad. And the gentleman that was running the specific conference, it was like a 2 or 3 day conference, brought up the name virtual assistant. And my mind was blown. He was telling me all these type of things of, you could hire someone for cents on the dollar to handle things for you. Because after all, some people say time is money, but I have to kind of argue with that. Time is irreplaceable. You can always replace money, but you can't replace time. And so that's why virtual assistants can be very helpful. So of course, when I break into the business in 2014, some of the big quote unquote gurus of self-publishing, they'd say, you got to get a virtual assistant. And the virtual assistant's going to do X, Y, and Z, and you got to train them with A, B, C. And I'm like, well, okay, this makes sense. I'm just going to go ahead and follow exactly what they did. But here's the problem. I wasn't even in that much of a profit. I would say my first few months in the business, I was making maybe $50, $100 tops in the course of a month. And I was spending hundreds per month hiring out virtual assistants to do various different tasks. So here, the virtual assistants were making way more money than me. That's easy for me to say. And I'm just like, I'm just kind of like, what is this? Am I just merely putting this stuff together to pay for somebody else's bills? Is this what this is all about? And that's why I think it's important that we have a conversation about when should you hire a virtual assistant? Because folks, virtual assistants aren't for everyone. So I'm going to kind of tell a few things to you and share a few things. And I want you to think if this is relevant to you. So the very first thing is going to be time versus money. You hear me say this quite a bit, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it again. Time versus money. All right. Do you have more time than you have money? Because if you've got more time than you have money, then you're going to have to do what I call invest in sweat equity. Invest with sweat equity. You're going to have to grind it out, in other words. You're going to have to try to put together this business on your own. You're going to have to wear those 5 million caps that are involved in self-publishing your own content. That's the struggles of an indie author. And until you can otherwise start to make a little bit of cheddar, trying to invest in VAs just because, you know, you heard someone say, well, have to have VAs. That's not a good concept to kind of do. Now, here, let's flip it around, though. Let's say that you have more money than time. Let's say that you are a full-time parent, that you have a full-time job, that you are doing part-time writing, but you got a little bit of extra discretionary expense. Maybe. Just maybe having a virtual assistant will help ease a little bit of your load. Maybe. In some instances, you may not just need a virtual assistant. You might just need like a one-off freelance professional of some sort, you know. So in other words, instead of hiring or instead of trying to format your own content, you can always hire an interior formatter. Or instead of trying to self-edit your book, get it done, write your first draft, send it off to a good editor who's going to go and clean it up for you. By the way, your editor might murder me by me telling you to send a first draft. Never send a first draft to an editor. But I understand desperate times call for desperate measures. So time versus money. Do you have more time than you have money, or do you have more money than you have time? Because if you have more money than time, then I always recommend hiring out. But a virtual assistant isn't always the solution. What I want you to do is you got to take an inventory of who you are. Be a bit more self-aware about what you do and what you're able to produce. Figure out your strengths in the business. Okay, are you a good writer? If you're a good writer, focus on that. If you are an excellent graphic design artist, you probably should be focusing on doing your cover art. Let's say that you are really good at writing up excellent ad copy, then you probably should focus on that. But what are your weaknesses? What are the things that you're weakest at? And more importantly, what are you weakest at that's required consistently in your business as an author? Because that's where hiring a virtual assistant comes into play. I think about my weaknesses. Full disclosure, all right? I'm super weak. My social media game is weak. It's weak. Now, you might look over at YouTube and go, come on, Dale. Dude, really? Really? Yeah, I'll tell you. Even the blind nut gets a squirrel every now and then. My social media game is just not the greatest. My email marketing, all right? I know how to put it together. I know all the stuff that's involved, but it also requires a ton of time. And sometimes having the ability to write good ad copy to really entice people to open your emails, read your emails, click on your offer, and hopefully buy your offer. So instead of me sitting here grinding out social media all the time and email marketing, light bulb moment here, folks, I hire out a virtual assistant to manage that for me. Because the time that I would otherwise spend grinding it out doing email marketing, grinding it out doing social media, is time I could better spend writing my next content, editing some of my stuff, creating videos. That's something I'm good at. Speaking to people, networking, that's my strengths. I'm going to stay in my wheelhouse. And the closer I can stay in my wheelhouse, the more it's going to create more content, build more of a following, and grow my business. So that's why I go for the virtual assistant. Now, there are times, though, when you're going to have to hire out the pros just on a one-time basis. Again, you know, this is not me just sitting here trying to plug Fiverr, but I mean, that's a perfect example. You can always hire out a professional there. And we're going to talk about how the whole hiring out process here. But always try to figure out professionals who do it better than you. All right. Anytime I hire someone, I want to make darn sure that these people do it way better than me. Like, they can work circles around me because that investment is going to be so worth it in the long term. Okay, so when do I know when it's time to hire out? Because not all the time is it going to be something. If I had to do it all over again, I would get into my time traveling DeLorean and I would travel back in time and just smack myself straight in the face because I can handle it. I'm a man. I can do it. And I would say, dude, no, save that money. You know, quit paying somebody else's bills when you got to be paying your own. So it's not always going to be appropriate to hire out. What I would recommend, and this is just a recommendation, this is not me saying that this is the blueprint that's going to get you to your success, but I would recommend that you at least clear, and I mean net profit, not gross profit, I mean net profit, $1,000 per month as an author. If you're getting net profit of $1,000, that means marketing costs removed, using Amazon advertising, anytime you're investing in covers, things like that, what are you bringing actually home? When you can bring in about $1,000 per month, then you should consider the next step. Your next step should be save about 10 to 20% of your business for help. You're probably going to go, okay, I'm ready to go ahead and hire my virtual assistant. No. Okay, let's slow down. Because if you do 10 to 20%, I mean, 10% of 1,000 is going to be what? $100. Okay, so if we got about $100, that's great. And sure, you could probably find some cheaply outsourced VAs, but it's not always about finding who is going to be the cheapest person to work with, because sometimes you're paying for quality, folks. You're paying for quality. So I would recommend that you build about 3 to 6 months worth of this pay. So imagine what you could be able to do with, say, $300 to $600 saved up. $600, you'll be able to get a bit more damage. And as long as you continue to put in 10 to 20% of your net profit, put it aside for hiring out a virtual assistant, the nice thing is when this person comes on, you always have a little bit of cushion inside your business bank account that you're able to continue to employ this person on a regular basis, because that's the whole thing. To hire a virtual assistant, you need to kind of bring them in perpetuity. That way, they're doing some tasks that you would otherwise have to be doing yourself, and they're going to be doing it indefinitely or until you otherwise find another virtual assistant who would probably do those same duties, so on and so forth. But I always just recommend save up the money first before hiring. Don't get in a rush for this here, folks. Where should you hire out? Okay, so the very first one, everybody's going to probably think like, oh, he's going to be going for his sponsor in this one. No, actually, I'm going to tell you referrals. Go for referrals every time. Referrals for the win. Because if someone has already worked with a professional and you know that person and you trust that person, then chances are very likely that this is going to be someone that you are going to vibe with. So work with referrals first. Ask around within the community. Ask within the indie author community or even within your networking community. So if you're working with other business professionals, be it through LinkedIn or any kind of local meetups, say, hey, I'm looking to hire on a virtual assistant. Would you recommend someone for X, Y, and Z? So let's say, for instance, you're really weak at doing social media marketing. You go over to your next networking meeting and say, hey, I need to find a good virtual assistant who is very knowledgeable in social media marketing. Who would you recommend? And I'm just going to stress to you, please, please don't make the very first question, how much does it cost? Right? Don't. Because if you're going into wondering, like, how much does it cost? Then it's probably not worth you investing in. It's better to find out the value the person brings to the table before you start asking what the dollar signs are going to be. You know, I've found time and again, there's been some people that have had a low dollar per hour type, you know, offer or low dollar per project, only to find out that they weren't worth it at all. They were just an absolute waste of my time. I just almost always find out what value they bring. Have a conversation with this person to figure out, okay, what's the next step? Okay, our next step is going to be how much am I going to invest in you? Because then from there, you're able to kind of figure out. Stay with me here for just a second. The next good source, of course, I've already mentioned it before, it's going to be Fiverr. Fiverr's got a ton of virtual assistants that will be able to help you out. Again, in the Fiverr store, you can always go check it out. dalelinks.com/fiverr, and there are actually quite a few gigs in there that they will help you out with your book publishing business. There are also other freelance platforms, but in all due respect to my sponsors, I'm not going to mention those other platforms. I'm sure you can let Google do the work for you, but nonetheless, you can always look at some other platforms. There are some safe practices that you're going to want to make sure you consider, though. What should you do to protect your business? Because here's the thing is you're going to be hiring someone. You're going to be investing in them, all right? And that's going to be a person who somewhat represents your brand, whether they're out in the forefront or not. Because let's just be honest. If someone runs, let's say, your social media account, what's stopping them from doing something bad or not running spell check on something? That happens from time to time, by the way. This is what I always recommend. Hire slow, fire fast. And it sounds like a sexy little credo that I've made up. And no, this is something I heard a long time ago from my mentor in the business. He said, hire slow, fire fast. Here's how I'm going to break it down to you is when you are referred someone over to you, regardless of how much you love the person who referred that specific professional to you, always take them for a test drive. Always, always, always. And this goes for everything. Never go all in on any one professional until you've got a good grasp on how the two of you will work out. Is there chemistry? Are you able to communicate openly with each other? Is there anything that you notice about this person's work behaviors that could work for you or work against you? So it's always a good idea to take your time. I'm not shy to say it's been almost 4 years ago that I hired Ava Fales. She's fantastic. I would refer you over to her, but unfortunately, she's no longer accepting new clients. She told me this about a month ago, and I was like, what? So in any event, when I first met her and started working with her, I told her right out the gate, hey, look, this is going to be a test drive. And we started slow. I gave her a few things and saw how it worked out. And I started adding more tasks to her workload. And it really was like almost like a 3-month trial till I was like, okay, how much can you work for me per week? And we started to kind of wheel and deal and got it to where we work with each other. And 4 years later, here I am still working with her and she still tolerates me for some reason. But a fantastic, example of someone I trust. Now, I'm not going to go throw anybody under the bus. And unfortunately, I can't remember any names, even if I were to, try to remember names. But I've worked with some virtual assistants that, they're not good. They say they're virtual assistants. But quite frankly, when a push comes to shove, if they cannot meet your demands or fulfill your expectations, they're out of here. Bye. Seriously. Zero flakiness should be allowed. If this person has a project due or workload due at a specific time and you set that deadline, and I'm going to talk about setting expectations here in a minute. You set that deadline and they didn't fulfill it. All right. I'm the kind of guy, I will allow one pass. I will allow one instance of, hey, I had a brutal cold. I'm so sorry. I wasn't able to do it. After that, though, second excuse, I don't care. It's like, honestly, you have one job. Your job is to fulfill this thing. And if you can't fulfill it, bye. See you. There's millions of fish out in the sea that are more than willing to do the work for you and not give excuses. So zero flakiness involved. Like, don't allow any virtual assistant or professional to give you an excuse of why they couldn't. I've had a number of virtual assistants over the years. And when they would give me an excuse, like I said, I'm kind of a forgiving guy. Give a one pass. But after that, nah, see ya. Bye. You out of here. See ya. So the next thing is going to be this is going to be for safe practices. It's going to be anytime you can get your money in escrow. So in other words, if you're able to get an intermediary, a middleman, if you will, to hold your money in order for the actual work to be fulfilled. So let's say, for instance, Fiverr kind of works as an escrow. I will order a gig. They hold the money. And until the gig is completed to my expectations, they hold on to that money. And they don't give it to that specific service provider until they fulfilled my expectations. There are other platforms that do this. You're going to get to the point, though, that eventually, if you've worked with your virtual assistant for quite a while, you may not need escrow. For instance, I don't have escrow at all with Ava. Honestly, I've been with her for so long and she's so stinking reliable that I would never imagine doing it that way. She sends me an invoice, I pay her, bye. That's it. If you can't find something with escrow, I would always recommend platforms that you're able to file a dispute if something goes south. So PayPal, I've been with them for so stinking long. Like, I have some type of like a business account that in the event that something goes south, they always rule in my favor. It's absolutely incredible. But any event, this is another reason why you test drive some professionals before you go all in. So if you use something like PayPal and you hire a virtual assistant to do a particular job, let's say $50 is your budget. That's all you can be able to do. I put $50 down. I will pay when services are rendered. That's my thing. There's some that say pay in advance. I would be okay with doing a deposit, but it's going to probably be 50% or even far less than that if I really don't know this person. But I never invest anything up front that I'm not willing to lose at first. But again, this comes down to if you can, go with any kind of platform that offers escrow. Next thing is going to be setting expectations. This is so absolutely critical. You cannot skip setting expectations. You need to be, as a boss, as a leader, you need to have that boss cap on anytime you're communicating. And I'm going to talk about communicating here in just a minute. This one's going to be a little longer podcast today here, folks. Hopefully you've got a cup of coffee as you're listening in. But set expectations in that you need to tell them what they're working on, what the expected outcome is, and how soon it needs to be due. You need to have them agree to that, all right? It needs to be in just plain black and white. They need to be understanding, okay, great, they've agreed to it. This is something I still stick to this day. Video chat when possible. This is great to actually have good dialogue with someone who's gonna be working with you. There are some instances that video chats may not work out, but remember this, that anything you communicate through video chat, you need to double down on that through email. So it could be, hey, we just spoke on video chat, so we are gonna do X, Y, and Z, and it's gonna cost this much. This is the expected outcome, and this is my deadline. Is this cool? So always go back, reiterate what you said in email in kind of a bullet point format if you've done a video chat with somebody. Do not rely on someone's memory, okay? There's going to become some times where someone might have missed something. That's on you then. But if you've done it to where they've said, okay, great, it's good to go, it's in writing, then they're dead to rights if they don't fulfill that. Okay, so the next thing is keep related projects in one email thread. You notice I said email thread? Yeah. I'm going to talk about why I said email thread. Anytime that you're communicating with your virtual assistant when it comes to a project, there's going to be a lot of work eventually, and it's going to become really messy after a while. You're going to want to make sure that each one of your projects stays in a specific email thread. So let's just say, for instance, anytime I'm communicating with Ava, I will talk to her about the weekly agenda today. And I'm going to keep everything I'm going to discuss in the weekly agenda over here. But let's say there's an ongoing project for social media. I'm going to keep this one going over here. And that's going to be in another email thread altogether. See that? Two different projects running on two different threads. Don't start a brand new one. There's nothing more annoying to a virtual assistant or even for you to waste your time having five different types of emails related to the same stinking thing. If you want to be able to communicate in the most effective and efficient amount of time as possible, keep it in one thread. Stay to one thread. So always reply to that same one. Don't start a brand new one. Like, oh, you think about it like, oh, hang on, I got to tell this person about the social media project. Go into that same thread, communicate it with them. Make sure they understand that and they respond to it. Now, I said there's one way you should not do it. Never, and I mean never, and you, I will fight you on this one. Never use social media for managing projects, ever, ever. Okay, don't use your LinkedIn Messenger. Don't use Facebook Messenger. Don't use Twitter direct messages. No, go to email, be a professional, keep it all kept right inside a thread. If for some reason this business professional only conducts, say for instance, through a freelance platform, so if you're doing a platform like Fiverr, then absolutely, you can keep your messages there. So if it's being done through an intermediary of some sort, then totally fine. I get that. But for the most part, anytime I'm working off platform, it's always via email. And I've had to check a couple of virtual assistants over the years that wanted to communicate with me through Facebook Messenger. No, that's my personal stuff. And there's no way you're going to be able to remember all that stuff. So how do you keep a good worker? Let's say you finally find a virtual assistant. You're like, man, this person is the bee's knees. Set expectations. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Set expectations and have them agree to that. And get it to where they feel valued. If they're doing great work, tell them. For crying out loud, life's too short. If they're doing great work for you and they're helping you raise your business to a whole other levels, then you got to give them credit for it. The next thing is reward for consistent, great performance. I love seeing great performance. I applaud them because this means that that's work I don't have to worry about doing. I don't have to worry about being consistent about. All I need to do is make sure that that person's still doing their thing and I can continue to grow my business. Reward them for it. And I don't know what that could be. It could be a gift card to Applebee's. It could probably be a bonus. That's completely up to you. I'm sure the more you get to know your virtual assistant, the more you'll get a better understanding of how they like to be rewarded. And for crying out loud, I don't know why this is not something that people don't do often enough, but if you're hiring a virtual assistant, there's something that's called the 13th month. You're probably 13th month. At the very end of the year, I want you to just continue to put money aside. And what you're going to do is give them a bonus to hang on to them, to show them that they're of value to you. You're going to give them an entire month's worth of wages. Now, just get the average amount that you give them per month and pay them out that way. By the way, you're going to track all these expenses because your CPA, your accountant will appreciate me for this. Make sure that you're tracking those bonuses as well. And you're also going to call it the 13-month bonus is what it's called. And the next thing is increase pay to reflect loyalty and performance. So when Ava came to me about a year ago or so and said, hey, I'm increasing my wages. I was like, well, about time. I was actually kind of expecting us to do this. Sometimes you don't have to wait for that to happen to increase their wages. Because here's the thing is, they're freelancers. They've got a certain skill that, honestly, someone else can come in and say, oh, you're only getting paid $30 per hour? All right, I'm going to take you for $50 per hour. So you think loyalty is going to pay their bills? No. Chances are very likely they're going to go to the highest bidder because they know that they're going to be a bit more valued about that. So I would always recommend consider increasing pay or even giving regular bonuses to this person for their performances. Hey, before we start to finish up today's podcast, I just want to give a couple of quick plugs here. Join me every Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern Daytime, Universal Time Coordinated -4. That's every Saturday on youtube.com/selfpublishingwithdale. And you can actually go and join me live at dalelinks.com/live when we have a live broadcast. Always love seeing you. And of course, actually, as you're listening to this, I am literally recording another podcast episode. Yeah, you're listening to this at this very moment. I'm recording an episode over at twitch.tv/selfpublish. You can join me on over there every Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern Daytime, Universal Time Coordinated -4, where we get a little bit of jib-jabbing. We get to talk. Actually, today's question of the day was, what are three goals you would like to fulfill this week? That's my big hot question. I've got some live viewers watching right at this particular moment. You could be too over at twitch.tv/selfpublish. All right. Final tip. Here we are. I had to write this one down because I felt like I might go a little too long on this one if I don't, you know, get it all dialed in. Budgeting is critical to hiring and keeping excellent workers. I can't tell you how many times that I thought for sure I had everything kind of dialed in. I thought everything was just right and kosher. And there's been a couple times where, man, I had some great virtual assistants that I worked with and I let them go because I couldn't consistently employ them and give them some work. And thankfully, I had one, as I've mentioned already, that stuck around, thankfully. But one of the things I got really good at was budgeting my finances, putting aside some actual net profit that could be used to hire out. So that way I wouldn't have to pay and sweat equity. John C. Maxwell once put it, you either pay now or you pay later. Either way, you're going to have to pay. So it might be a good idea to start socking away some of that money. And don't just hire low-wage workers to brag about having VAs. I can't tell you how many times I've run into someone, some well-meaning and well-intentioned person that would go, oh, I've got a team of 12 VAs. And we kind of start talking about brass taxes. And it comes down to brass... Let me restate this because that was completely off. When it comes down to talking about your business and what you're bringing in and putting out, some of these folks are just paying for the right to brag about having virtual assistants. It's kind of crazy. Like, yeah, I employ 12 different virtual assistants. Okay, so how are things going for you in your personal life? I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay for my kids' sports or, you know... Yeah, I'm probably going to have to go on the ramen noodle diet. Like, wait, hang on. You got a team of 12 VAs, you're telling me, but you can't pay yourself. There's something a little bit backwards for that. And here's the thing, folks. Hire high-performance professionals who will get your back through thick and thin. I want to work with very experienced people. I want to hire out people that are the cream of the crop at the very top that can be able to see my vision, capture that vision, and run with it. Having VAs isn't just there to brag about or say, hey, here's my assistant. It's about leveling up your business. And if you're not ready to take that first step, that's okay. Invest in sweat equity at first and get it to where you start to see a little bit of a plus going into functioning into the black instead of the red. And then is when you can consider that you should hire a virtual assistant. Hey folks, as we start to wrap up today, I just want to ask you, just a small ask, subscribe or follow me on your preferred podcast platform and leave a review. And speaking of reviews, I want to give a big shout out to SeasideGirl123 over on the Apple Podcast platform. And the title of the review was Leading Authority on Self-Publishing. Thank you very much. That's so nice of you to say that. Dale Roberts is one of the absolute leading authorities on the self-publishing business. I always find his podcasts and videos interesting, useful, relevant, and accurate. He's someone I definitely trust in their advice on all things self-publishing on Amazon and other author platforms. And I'd highly recommend his podcasts and videos to anyone interested in this subject. SeasideGirl123, I appreciate it. And if you happen to be listening to this, folks, whatever your preferred platform, it'd be awesome if you just left a nice little review there for me. Any is appreciated, and I'll give you a shout out as well if you do that. Well, hey, folks, this has been a longer than usual podcast. My apologies. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And if you did, of course, leave a review. In the meantime, in between time, I'll see you this next week. This has been Self-Publishing with Dale, and I'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast. Visit us at selfpublishingwithdale.com for more information on how you can level up your publishing business. Also, get a rock-solid action plan for your next book launch when you sign up for our email newsletter at selfpublishingwithdale.com/checklist. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.